Welcome to Season 1 of Fitzroy Basin Association's exclusive podcast series, The Ripple Effect. Fitzroy Basin Association, or FBA, is Central Queensland's leading natural resource management group. We protect the region's special places and unique species, promote sustainable industries through best management practices, and reduce the impacts our region has on the Great Barrier Reef. From Injune in the south to Nebo in the north, FBA covers an area twice the size of Tasmania, with more than 3,700 agricultural businesses and 2.6 million head of cattle. Our podcast, The Ripple Effect, tells the basin stories of achieving a sustainable future. Listen as we explain how we are connected and how your actions affect others. Litter is the term defined as rubbish such as paper, cans and bottles left lying in an open or public place. In this episode of The Ripple Effect, we hope to challenge this narrow definition. We'll introduce you to people working to reduce and reuse litter in our catchments in ways that you may never have thought possible. Dr. John McGrath is a bit of an identity around Yeppoon. He's the president of the local Surfrider Foundation branch on the Capricorn Coast, and in his day job, he handles crocs at Karana Crocodile Farm. Once a year, he's led the Surfrider Beach clean-up at Five Rocks, clearing marine debris from entering internationally significant wetlands. Over a 15-year period, Surfrider Foundation has been cleaning up Australia's second-ever surfing reserve. John has been part of this team in more recent years, removing around 1 tonne of litter per year. Why does trash light up the fire in his belly? Let's find out.
What we've got is a surfing reserve on the Farnborough Beach. It was the first or second surfing reserve in Australia, and not a lot of people know that. It's not protecting in the ocean, but it's protecting a bit of land, some essentially endangered beach scrub community on the coast between Iwazakis and Byfield National Park on Farnborough Beach. It's a popular surf spot, but if you protect the land, the beach, the vegetation communities there, you make it a more interesting experience for the visitors. And also you help protect the sandbanks, which are essentially the surfing livelihood on the coast. So it's pretty important. Something about the Capricorn Coast, we are a magnet for currents bringing in marine debris. So just to give you an idea, north of where we're operating on Farnborough Beach, but where we've also done the big Five Rocks beach cleanups is Nine Mile Beach. So we're talking 5 kilometres away. A lot further by car, but by water it's only 5 kilometres away. And we've been getting 1 tonne pontoons washing up on the beach there. They've come from either Brisbane or Bundaberg in the big floods many years ago. So there is something about this spot which sort of acts as a magnet for the, or an eddy, I guess, so that the currents settle out and all these floating debris end up here. And it's pretty scary when you deal with bigger debris, such as 1 tonne pontoons, which sit just under the water surface. Because we're in an area where a heap of families are going out every weekend out to the Keppels. And if anyone hits that in a boat, you're looking at fatalities. So this isn't in everyone's interest to make sure people are aware of and trying their best to get rid of the problem.
If we can just reflect on the last beach cleanup that you had at Five Rocks, you removed how much?
So it was nearly basically a ton of rubbish. I think it was slightly less than the previous year, but this year what we tackled was a beach that's got walk-in access only. So it's about a 500-metre walk up a steep hill, and so we just put in this massive effort there. We had some brilliant people from the Surfrider Foundation, from the Sunshine Coast Mob that came up and helped us, and one of the things they brought was a boat, little IRB, and so we were able to pile up all these bags of rubbish, run them around in the boat around the headland, around Stockyard Point down to Nine Mile Beach, where vehicles can access, load up the trailers and that, and then take it all up the top. So it was amazing to hit an area like that, because I've done a number of cleanups there on that little Five Rocks beach area. It is full on the marine debris there. Oh, it was full on before we hit it, but I know that every day that goes past, there's more and more stuff coming back. But we're talking, I remember doing a cleanup there with my old Green Army team, and we collected 200 cigarette lighters and around that same number, toothbrushes in half an hour cleanup. Yeah, it's intoxicating seeing that light bulb moment when there's people.
And you had something like 80, was it? 80?
Yeah, it was around about 80 people that came, which was really good. I mean, why wouldn't you? Here you are at Five Rocks, it's free camping, we have music, we have a fire, we've got fun and games for the kids. God, who doesn't want to come to that? And also having that feeling of actually having made the place a lot better than when you arrived. The beach is a major asset for tourism. It's much more important than any built structure. So you've got to look after it. You've got to have it clean. You've got to have a good visitor experience. So I'd include the tourism people with that as well. You know, what happens on the beach, leaving the place looking clean and safe for kids. For example, you don't want sharps on the beach, and I constantly find glass and other things. Yeah, clean it up, make it safer for kids and visually more appealing to people. You'll boost our local economy. So, yeah, it's in everyone's interests. And at the end of the day, people here love their fishing. And these kind of debris, plastics, when they break up, they're toxic for fish, and they cause turtles to choke and have slow deaths and things like that. And our economy and our recreation depends on a healthy marine environment. I have to say that Surf Rider Foundation, Capricorn Coast, is immensely grateful for the support of FBA over the years in terms of their key role in organising events through funding of grants. So, for example, we're benefiting from one at the moment for a weeding project up at the Big Dune Surfing Reserve, which is absolutely fantastic, because you can only do so much as a volunteer, and having that that grant certainly helps get a lot more done. But those major events, thank you so much. They're where you really have fun and a lot of people learn. At the 2017 Five Rocks Beach Cleanup that Surf Rider Foundation co-organised together with FBA and Capricorn and Catchments and so on 9 Mile Beach, there was a whale that was entangled in a ghost net. You can only logically deduce from that it got caught up in this net. It's died, it's passed away, and then washed up onto the beach. It's a pretty visually striking and on the nose as well, striking reminder of what are we doing, humanity, discarding bits and nets because we can't untangle them, or they're fouling props or whatever's going on. We're in a very wasteful kind of society, and people are just sort of ignorant of the or don't care about the downstream impacts of, say, letting out a big net loose. But those impacts are very real, and I guess it motivates and reinforces for a lot of people. And for some people, it's an inspiration, and other people, it's the eye-opener they need that humans are having a pretty gigantic impact out in the marine environment, and that we need to do something however we can. And I've rescued turtles and off Farnborough Beach, and I know one made it, another one didn't, and so on. And they've got enough issues on their plate. If you're a turtle, you've got to worry about tiger sharks, you've got to worry about crocodiles, you've got to, you know, so boat strikes. You've got so many things to worry about, and then other maybe fighting with other turtles and so on. You don't need the added stress of, you know, ingesting little bits of plastic or bigger piece of plastic like a plastic bag looking like a jellyfish, swallowing that, and then you literally die through starvation because you can't eat your esophagus is blocked. Yeah. It's terrible. Yeah.
So easily avoided.
So easily. I mean, things are, you can see shifts. We are shifting in society to moving away from single-use plastics and also getting away from single-use shopping bags and things like that. But they're shifts. They're not solutions, and it's got to be a global kind of solution, because the debris we get in Australia on our beaches here doesn't just come from Australia, it comes from other countries as well. So it does need a global kind of solution. But I don't really believe in solutions at the same time. I don't think they're possible. I think you've got to look at management and, you know, cooperation between governments and just education.
Litter is a dirty issue. So it's a remarkable feat to transform it into art. But that's precisely what Amber Countryman does. An environmental artist, Amber draws her inspiration from the ugly, transforming the disposable and detrimental byproducts of society into thought-provoking and insightful installations. One of her most recent notable artworks is a fully recycled planet made entirely of plastic bottles, taking 4 months to create and a countless number of bottles. It now hangs suspended at the Rockhampton Waste Facility as a stark reminder of the irony of the term disposable.
I like to add to what the other environmental groups are doing in the area. I see it as a bit of teamwork, as if we all have our own areas that we're kind of working in different ways. So I think in that way we have the potential to engage a lot more people, because we're reaching from different angles. And to me, I think we do a better job by working together and tackling it in different ways.
So can you tell me a little bit about some of the projects that you've done?
Most recent is it's a plastic bottle earth. It's 2 metres in diameter, and it's hanging in the recycling shed at the Rockhampton landfill. That was funding that came through from the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority to local councils to highlight the issue of marine debris. So I was asked to help create that, which is hanging there now. And the other one, it's the same funding, same topic, everything, but it was Livingston Shire Council. So that's a 8-square-metre mosaic that's on the Yeppoon foreshore. It's not made out of plastic or marine debris, but it's depicting marine debris using recycled tiles and, you know, cracked up plates and stuff like that. So those are the two major ones. I've got a few more happening at the moment, and then I've had some other temporary installations that have come and gone, so, yeah.
You've got many different messages, or do you see it as one central?
For me, it's the environment. That's what I'm passionate about. It's not necessarily one issue. I'm happy to talk about coal. I'm happy to talk about bees. You know, I'm happy to talk about all sorts of different things. Marine debris is something that's highlighted regularly at this point. People are wanting to promote that. So I'm happy to go with that, because I think it's really important that we do that. Something needs to change pretty quick.
How did you end up doing what you do?
I've always been creative, but I never thought I had enough talent to do anything with it. So I put it off, started study to be a wildlife ranger, turned into a zookeeper instead, and then had kids, so now have my own primates at home. And things got a little bit hard, and I had to work very hard for a number of years there. So when I things started to get better, I started to create more things, and it just made me feel alive again. And then I worked out that I could combine it with recycled materials. I didn't want to be a consumer, so I didn't want to be ducking into the art and craft shop, you know, and buying things, because it's kind of not who I am. So I came up with this light bulb moment, you know, like recycled stuff, you know, environmental stuff. And then I'd heard about a rubbish pickup that was happening through Capricornia catchments. And I was laying in bed one night just thinking about issues and marine debris, and came up with an idea for a sculpture. And I thought, well, I want to make it. So went along to the clean-up and asked if I could keep some of the rubbish. And they said, yes, and when you're finished, can we display it? And I went, sure. So I made this thing, and I thought, well, now what am I going to do with it? You know, like keep it at home and dust it? No. So I actually just offered it to them. I donated it to Shelley and Capricornia Catchments, and they now use it at all their little stalls, and it travels. It's a travelling art piece, and it tells a story by what it is. So it's got a job. And since then, when funding came up from Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority, who does marine debris art, oh, there's this lady called Amber. And so my name came up, and that's kind of how it happened. So it was a little bit accidental, but I think sometimes when you're meant to go somewhere, you kind of get taken there without planning it. You know, people do say, oh, you're making me think about that now. You know, oh, I feel a little bit guilty about that now, and things like that. So I think I am making some kind of difference.
Litter that is seen accounts for only a small fraction of the litter that exists. In 2017, FBA delivered $20,000 in community grants to a remarkable group of volunteers forming the Yeppoon Inlet Association. This year, they're removing sunken and abandoned vessels from the Ross and Fig Tree Creek inlets. Quite literally, they're making a ton of difference.
I'm Graham Pegg. I'm the chair of the Yeppoon Inlet Association. It's an incorporated association that's been going for probably about 15 or 18 years, and represents the boat and jetty owners in Ross and Fig Tree Creeks at Yeppoon. As the group got together, they started doing some things, and I think it was almost sort of within the first couple of years they had their first big clean-up activity in the creek. Because what happens over the time is that, you know, both the community and some irresponsible boaties, you know, leave debris around, you know, old jetties, old boats, you know, bits of engines and this and that. And remember that the creek also during the 70s particularly was very, very active in the trawl industry. There was, you know, quite a number of trawlers that would operate out of the creek and the harbour simultaneously. And many boats had a jetty in the creek as well as a mooring in the harbour and the piles. And very, very busy. And so there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, harks back to that time. And so I think that first exercise, they pulled out about 10 tonnes of stuff in a day, no trouble at all. And then we, as a committee, a bit more than a year ago, decided that it was timely to really readdress this issue, that there'd been, you know, a proliferation of boats particularly that had been abandoned, and they were a terrible eyesore. And there was one in the main creek that everyone saw every day as they drove over Victory Creek. And so the jetty owners, and I'm one of those on that side, we got in and took care of that, you know, essentially pulled it up on the bank on a really big tide and cut it up. It was, you know, a lot of work, and in the height of summer, as it was two summers ago. And then it was really from that activity where people said, well, actually, we can make a difference if we put a bit of effort in, and that we decided to apply for some of the Landcare funding through Fitzroy Basin. The first big activity was really a clean-up day. So we got, you know, maybe 20, 25 volunteers, you know, some trucks and some machinery that can lift heavy things. And we, just in the 2 days, it was sort of about mid to late November last year, in 2017, and we took out probably about 12 or 14 tonnes just on that weekend alone. You know, we removed some one or two jetties, we removed all the stuff, old sheds. There was a whole lot of stuff, actually, that had been blown down in Cyclone Marcia, and people hadn't bothered to pick it all up. And so it's one of those projects, I guess, that feeds on itself. So, you know, to be quite honest, at first the group struggled a bit with the concept that we'd be applying for money to clean up the creek, because they were sort of afraid that it was drawing attention to ourselves. And so that's an interesting thing. You know, like, you've got people who own boats and things, and they're a little bit afraid about doing this. But what's happened over the last year, of course, is that they've all come on board. They've seen that, look, you know, some good outcomes can come from this, and we've had pretty good coverage in the press, both on television, radio and in print, about our activities. So people are very interested, and more people seem to be appearing and following what we're doing, which is pretty good. With regards to the boats, we have to approach the families, because oftentimes, you know, a number of the boats we had, the owners are deceased. And so there's been oftentimes the same recurrent story. Someone who's quite old gets sick, and then they might pass on. But, you know, maybe a son or a nephew inherits the vessel, but they don't know anything about boats. And very soon, particularly if they're timber boats, they'll be lost. So, you know, they sink. And then once that happens, it's just a, you know, downhill story from there. And unfortunately what happens is then they fill up with mud, and it's very difficult. So the number of the boats, we had to sort of crawl through them in the mud to get the flotation drums on them and secure them. And so we pulled out three or four boats up to about 30 feet out of the mud. And so these are things that have been sunk for years, but we got them up and floated them triumphantly down the creek to a spot where we could drag them out, either in one piece, or we cut them up. And again, you know, what could be recycled out of some of them, like old engines and gearboxes and shafts and stuff, they all come out. And then the other timber material was crushed and taken to the tip. Through the community grant, look, it's, the amount that we got was $20,000. Now, $20,000, if you're actually in this business commercially, doesn't go very far at all. But what we've been able to do is negotiate with machinery owners and operators, you know, to, they realise that this is a community benefit project, and so they'll come down and say, look, I can come down on the weekend, and you know, they give us probably a fairer deal than they would on a straight up commercial basis, because they realise that we're just trying to do as much as we can with the limited funds we've got. You know, we've been working closely also with the maritime safety people from Gladstone, and they've been very good supporting us, but also to help us with process. They contacted me last week, actually, and they'd been up doing an audit, and they said, it's amazing what you guys have done. Like, you can really see the difference. And so it's changing a bit of attitude that people in the past who might have thought that their jetty site could be stuff, you know, they could just be left there. People are being more careful about what materials are left around their jetty sites.
If you're looking for any extra information on these projects, or information on how you can get involved in tackling litter across the Fitzroy Basin, head to our website fba.org.au for more information or for a detailed event calendar. Thanks for tuning into our second episode of The Ripple Effect. Next week, we're talking to three community members on a mission to revegetate critical areas in critical ways. FBA, making change happen.